Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Odyssey, Silent Friend, and The Currents.
Well, I guess inevitably I'm going to start off today by talking about The Odyssey. This is the new movie by Christopher Nolan, who is a very successful and very popular filmmaker in all kinds of ways. And he really does like to take on ambitious projects. He's done that from the very beginning. A movie like, for example, Memento, a full quarter of a century ago, in which he tells a sort of a thriller murder mystery story, but tells the story backwards. And the main character is somebody who has no memory. So that kind of indicated where Nolan's career was going to go. And not all of his movies are that complicated, but he has had an enormous amount of success. Big deal science fiction movies like Inception and Interstellar and Tenet. And then, of course, his famous Batman trilogy. And then just a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, Oppenheimer, which was an enormously successful movie, a very ambitious movie. And he's been making his movies very long. He's done that for a long time. Interstellar, for example, is a very long movie. Oppenheimer is a very long movie. And now he's done it again with The Odyssey, which is almost 3 hours long. And of course, it's based on a very long poem, book-length poem from ancient Greece. So his ambition is there. His love of lengthy movies is there. And he's a rolling along. Christopher Nolan is. I will say that The Odyssey is gaining in a tremendous amount of acclaim. People are really loving it. I saw it in IMAX, and my gosh, people were just excited coming out of that movie. They were more excited than I was, I have to admit. I think The Odyssey is a really, really well-made movie. It just has all kinds of terrific things going for it. However, it is also a very conventional movie, and it's not that every movie has to break new ground and do amazing new things and astonish my senses. But my gosh, I think that there is nothing in the new movie of The Odyssey that couldn't have been done by, at least a dozen good Hollywood filmmakers 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's just a very conventional action movie, a very well-made action movie, but at heart, it is only that, an action movie. So that is my bottom line, which I'll start out with here. Anyway, The Odyssey is, of course, the story of a great journey undertaken by Odysseus, played in the movie by Matt Damon. And the whole idea is that he's got to make this big, long trip, and he faces all kinds of adventures along the way. He and his men, of course, they're all men in his hardy band of travelers, they run into the Cyclops, Polyphemus, who in Nolan's movie is just a horror movie monster. That's all he is. And they run into Circe, who turns all of Odysseus's men into swine. And then, of course, he's got to somehow get past the sirens, who sing this song which uplifts everybody and tempts them to their deaths in the briny sea. And in Nolan's movie, as in The Odyssey itself. And by the way, this is not the first adaptation of The Odyssey, so we've seen this on screen before. Ulysses has himself lashed to the mast of his ship so that he can hear the sirens while his men stuff their ears with wax so that they will not meet their deaths in the briny deep. All that stuff, which is very familiar if you've read The Odyssey. I've read it more than once in my time. And it's very familiar if you've seen an earlier movie adaptation of The Odyssey, and it's all here in this movie. So, as I've said, Christopher Nolan's version of The Odyssey is just an action movie, and people love action movies. So I'm not surprised that this film is proving extremely popular. And by the way, here's my prediction in July of 2026 that this is going to be the big Academy Award winner when the next Oscars come around several months from now. I just don't think there's a way it can miss whatever the competition turns out to be by then. It's such a popular movie, and it is, I'll repeat, such a well-made well-made movie. It's just not a very interesting movie in a lot of ways. So I've mentioned Matt Damon plays Odysseus. Tom Holland plays his son, Telemachus. Anne Hathaway plays his wife, Penelope. And of course, all the time that Odysseus is off on his journey and having all his adventures and narrowly escaping death and all of that, his wife, Penelope, is back home, fending off the attentions of men who want to marry her, claiming that Odysseus is surely dead out there somewhere. And of course, she is weaving something on her loom and saying she won't marry again until it's finished. And that's a whole subplot of the Odyssey. So we have Anne Hathaway, who plays the part of Penelope. Robert Pattinson is in the movie as Antinous. Corey Hawkins, Elliot Page as Sinon. A good cast, a fine cast, a splendid cast. The movie is beautifully photographed, and it's edited with all of this panache and brio and energy. But again, it's just an action movie. So if you want to see a first-rate action movie, and a very long action movie, I will mention, then by all means, go to see The Odyssey. But I just wish it were something more than that. I mean, Homer's book-length poem, The Odyssey, like his other book-length poem, The Iliad, is not just an action thing. The Iliad is not just a war story. The Odyssey is not just an adventure story. It's more than that. It has deep resonances. And of course, one thing that people have been talking about with regard to Nolan's movie is that The Odyssey is also full of gods who really affect the action. The gods play very, very little part in Christopher Nolan's adaptation. Again, maybe that's appropriate because we live in an age today when people don't believe in the ancient Greek gods, and a lot of people don't believe that the gods of any kind are guiding our fates. But my gosh, it's not really an adaptation of the Odyssey if you really are pretty much leaving out all the gods. They're in there a little bit, but not a whole lot. There's a whole lot of magic, of course. Circe turning the sailors into pigs. That's magic. But again, it's just an action movie. The resonances that make the Odyssey as a poem, as a book, as a myth, as a legend resonant are just not there in this movie. So first-rate action movie, unfortunately, nothing more than that. Now I would like to talk about two movies, which I like a lot more than I like The Odyssey. The Odyssey, again, is a really good action movie, but we now have a couple of movies which are way more ambitious than that, ambitious in their storytelling aspirations, at least. The first one is called Silent Friend. And this, I think, is a superb movie, one of the absolute best movies I've seen this year, and in fact, one of the best movies I've seen in a while now. It's an international co-production. It's German, it's Hungarian, it's French, it's even Chinese. And the story takes place in a few different locations, but it's just an amazing and beautiful and very suggestive movie in all kinds of ways. I think it's a fabulous film. Directed by a Hungarian filmmaker named Ildikó Enyedi, who has done good work before, but this I think is just an extraordinary movie, Silent Friend. Now, the silent friend in the movie is actually a ginkgo tree. And some of the descriptions I've seen of this movie online is sort of being described as a movie about the tree. No, no, no. The tree is there and we come back to it from time to time, but it's not a movie about a tree. It's a movie about a whole lot of people who are in the, let's say, the general neighborhood of this tree. And the movie takes place in three different historical periods. So it starts out in 1908. Well, I shouldn't say it starts out there, but the first story that we see a lot of in the movie is 1908. And there is a woman who wants to be a scientist, and she applies to a university in Germany, and she wants to become their first female student. Again, this is back in the very first part of the 20th century. And she manages actually to get into the university, but she faces all kinds of difficulties there because there are people who are just not going to take her seriously. Why? Simply because she is a woman. So she is one of the main characters in this movie, and she spends some time hanging around this old ginkgo tree. And she is one of the main characters of the movie. Now, we also have a story that takes place in 1972, the early 1970s. And this is about a man who lives near that ginkgo tree, near the campus of that university. And he meets a woman who is involved in researching the interactions between plants and human beings. And he's not interested in that because he has other things on his mind going on. But he likes this woman, and so he sort of spends time hanging around her, and there's a little romance that develops there. And it turns out that she is, in her research, she has developed a scientific device, a sensor, which can sense the reactions of plants to what's going on in their environment. She goes off on a camping trip, and she leaves our man character here in this part of the movie, Hannes, to tend this whole thing, to tend the sensors, to tend the plant. It's attached to a geranium, not very exotic. And so that's another whole sort of story that goes on in this movie. And then we have one of the main characters of the movie, a Chinese American, he's actually a Chinese character, who is in 2020, just a few years ago during the COVID pandemic. And he is also doing research at this university, and he's interested in researching the way the brain works, and particularly the way the infant brain works. And he has a whole theory about that, which becomes a part of the movie. And again, all of these people interact with this ginkgo tree. So the ginkgo tree is always there, and I will reveal right now a spoiler. The movie ends on a magnificent shot of the ginkgo tree, which just fills the screen and lasts and lasts, and is just, I think, glorious. But these three stories are really fascinating. They are elliptical stories. They are not full of detail about exactly what's going on all the time in these people's lives. There's a lot of gaps left for us to fill in. And that's part of the interest of this movie. It's part of the fascination of this movie. And above all, it is a gloriously visual film. It is just beautiful to look at, exciting to look at, and again, very suggestive to look at. It suggests things to you without spelling them out. The Odyssey spells out every single thing. This movie does not spell out every single thing. It leaves a lot of gaps for us to fill in from our own imaginations, telling three different stories, each of which is only there in part, and we get to draw the connections between them, and we get to draw a lot of suggestions about what's going on within each of the three stories. It's a fascinating experience, not for the casual. You have to be prepared to sit and take this movie in and pay attention to it, but you get to do that. It's streaming. You can watch it easily on your home screen, and I highly, highly recommend it. Silent Friend, I predict, will be on my best 10 of 2026 list when the year finally comes to a close. And the final movie I'd like to talk about right now, which is called The Current, is also very elliptical. It is full of gaps. It is full of things for us to fill in ourselves. It was directed and written by Milagros Mumenthaler, not a familiar name. No, it's not. And it is basically an Argentine movie. And it is, again, another movie where we are invited to fill in a lot of the information ourselves. And that is part of the absolute fascination of it. It is a wonderful, wonderful movie, which I found just fascinating to watch. So here's how The Currents begins. A woman accepts an award, and then she, as soon as she's gotten it in her hands, she walks away from the crowd. She throws it away, and then she takes a walk through the city, goes to a few different locations, walks across a bridge, and hops off the bridge into the water. So what's going on here? Our main character appears to have committed suicide in the very first scene of the movie. Well, she doesn't die, and she does remain as the main character of the movie. But why she did this is quite mysterious to us. And by the way, it remains quite mysterious to us. As the movie proceeds, we see her go home. She interacts with her husband. She interacts with her little girl. She has a daughter. And we see various mysterious things that happen. It turns out she apparently has a phobia of water. Well, maybe that's because she committed suicide by jumping into water, except that she does not appear to be dead, so apparently she survived. And maybe she developed the fear of water when she did that, or maybe she did that because of her fear of water. We have to figure that out as the movie goes along. But we do see her interact with various people. She has a job, she's involved with very high technology, with the media and so forth. And we get to figure out what's going on in her life. And we try to think back to that apparent suicide at the beginning of the film and figure out why this happened and what we are supposed to make of it. So this is basically about a movie whose mind whose life is in some ways very grounded. She's a professional woman. She has a successful career. She has a very nice family, but who has a deep instability in her personality. And we get to figure out what's going on here and to understand that as well as we can, which I think is never complete. The movie never gives us all the clues, but it gives us enough clues to think about this, to experience this, and to somehow be a part of this woman's life as she goes through many, many experiences which she herself apparently does not completely understand. So, both Silent Friend and The Currents, these two movies I'm talking about right now, are very mysterious, and that is part of their fascination. I found them both totally engrossing to watch. I couldn't think about anything else while they were going on. With The Odyssey, I kept thinking about adventure. With these movies, I kept thinking about mystery. And for me, mystery is a much more fascinating quality in the movie than mere adventure. So that is my somewhat odyssey of a story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Odyssey, Silent Friend, and The Currents.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.